Don't you wanna die happy with a smile on your face? Wake up a laughing, cause you're free of all the things that would hold you from your ocean view. Life's a landscape. Why don't you bend in your way?
Hi, Teray.
Hey, Martin.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's so good to see your face. It's been such a long time since we've gotten to have a proper chin wag.
Yeah, and our last chin wag was about aliens, wasn't it? Do aliens exist?
It was a wonderful chin wag.
I really enjoyed it, and it was most definitely random and certainly different to what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely.
Because I was thinking, I don't know why I was thinking about this. Well, I guess we'll come on to it because it's a conversation, isn't it? But perhaps we should kick off with something else. So Gautama Buddha once said, better is to speak unpleasant truth than to tell lies. Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Friedrich Nietzsche said, I'm not upset that you lied to me. I'm upset that from now on, I can't believe you. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about why do we lie? Why do we lie?
I like that last quote. I really like that last quote, because I think that's the biggest thing around lying for me, is that once I catch you in a lie, the trust, it's broken. Now that I've clocked you as a liar, you getting out of being a liar, good luck, sir.
Well, you kind of screwed, aren't you? And it I think that's my favorite one. I can't remember where I heard the expression. Instead of telling someone that you were angry with them, you say, I'm not angry with you, I'm just disappointed. And there's something in what he says there. I'm not upset that you lied to me. I'm upset that from now on, I can't believe you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Frederick. I didn't mean to lie. You caught me in a lie. Now I feel really bad. And
I don't think we mean to lie, though. I think that's the truth. I don't think we mean to lie. I mean, there are absolutely 100% times where we mean to lie. We want to protect our image. We want to protect someone's feelings. We want, you know, protect ourselves from punishment. But then there are times when it's just, it feels almost animalistic, primal, instinctual, lizard brain, just boom. Oh, a lie just fell out of my mouth. I catch myself sometimes saying a lie and I'll stop and I'll be like, that was a lie. I don't know why I said that. It's not always a conscious thing.
But okay, let's unpack that then. So by that rationale, we can't help lying. It's just, it's an endemic part of being human. Is that what you think?
Absolutely. It's part of the human condition.
I'm not sure about that. I was the world's biggest liar back in the day. So I think when I was using, and when I was having affairs and dealing with all my addictions, one of which was sex addiction, I lied all the time, to the point where I think I lied so well to everyone and to myself that I convinced myself that my own lies were true, which is pretty good going, but also a bit of a head fuck, because then you start to wonder what are the things that have happened in your life, what's true and what's not, because you were so used to telling these lies. But do you know what? I don't think that I lie anymore.
I think that's a lie.
Well, I'm thinking out loud here. I'm totally thinking out loud. But what would I lie about? What would I lie about? That's a good question. What are the things that we lie about? Perhaps we should start there. Because there are big lies and little lies, aren't there?
Yeah, there's big lies and little lies. There's lies that men do. There's lies that women do. There's lies that you do at work and in relationships. There's lies that you do to yourself about yourself. Which lies do you want to talk about?
Well, I suppose we should... Well, let's try and talk about all of them and and ask ourselves all the while, why do we lie? So let's start with the... I'm interested in the lies that men tell and the lies that women tell. Talk to me.
Well, men lie to impress. Like, studies are for sure backing up this whole premise that, like, men lie just to make their image appear better than it is, right? My dick's bigger,
right?
My truck's bigger, my bank account's bigger, my wife's hotter, my job's better, my golf game's better. Just like, this is like a one-upmanship, right? So men will do a lot of lying around how they come across, how they appear externally.
I don't have a truck.
You have a motorbike, though, don't you? And it's loud.
Oh, it's not loud anymore. No, I actually had it. I had it muffled. I had it quietened because I realized it was quite obnoxious.
So obnoxious.
Yeah, it's only a 250cc engine, so it's not like a big angry bike. Although it is quite a fast motorbike. Yeah. Okay. So what do women lie about then in stark contrast to men?
Women do the lying that they do is really to sort of like protect other people's feelings, right? So like, do I look fat in this? Absolutely. You look fantastic, girl. Go on. No, you look great. Yeah, absolutely. Eat that other cheesecake.
And the rest.
So the kind of lying they're doing is really in an effort to save face. And this is also a very stark cultural thing that I notice among Commonwealth countries, where women won't tell you to your face anything that's the truth if they think that it might be perceived as offensive or otherwise confrontational. So they'll lie about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. I had a partner who she'll remain unnamed, but she had a really, for me, a very uncomfortable level of comfort with dishonesty. And she lied about everything, you know? And now, don't get me wrong, there's no judgment here, because when we met, we were both, we actually had an affair, really, I suppose, is how we started our relationship. And so we were both being dishonest in our own way. But she lied about everything, down from the from smoking. So she, even though she was a grown woman, she didn't tell her parents that she smoked, to using cocaine. She used a lot of drugs with me and drank a lot with me as well. So that was hidden from her parents. In fact, she hid a lot of things from her parents. That was one thing. But then I noticed she also lied to her friends about various things. And it seemed to me she became so comfortable with lying that was her new modus operandi. And I remember when she eventually... She lied to me about, after the end of our relationship, she lied to me about something. And I remember thinking, I think I asked, why did you lie to me about that? What made you, and it wasn't an angry, why did you lie? It was just I'm genuinely interested. We're no longer in a relationship. So what made you feel as though it would be, I don't know, appropriate to lie to me? And she said, well, I just thought that you would be upset about the truth. Mm-hmm. And I found that really interesting because, well, on the one hand, the older version of me would have been upset about the truth. So there was definitely sense in her thinking there. But then on the other hand, does that still make the lie okay?
No. Absolutely not. A lie is a lie, even by omission. A lie is a lie. But that story just confirms that the reason why most women lie is to protect, right? And this is why, going back to my original statement, why I say it's a very primal lizard brain sort of response that's happening here, because sometimes, and I think this might be especially true for mothers, but in general, all women just have a strong desire to protect other people, even if it means telling a lie. And sometimes that lie is really small, about my age or my weight, or sometimes that lie is really big about other partners or infidelity or, you know, drug use or something like that, right? Is it okay? Mm-hmm. I would say lying is lying, whether or not it was done with good intention. That doesn't change the fact that lying is still a bad thing to do. However, if you kind of take everything on a spectrum of, like, why was a lie told? I think you can have a metric for which to measure the severity and therefore the accompanying hurt or perceived anguish from that lie. This now comes into
a liometer.
Data analytical.
Yeah.
I'm into measuring everything device. Lately.
Yeah. And now I'm intrigued about measuring lies and the ramifications of a lie. Hmm.
Aren't you, though? Yeah, you make an interesting point. I mean, like, if the government lies to us about aliens, to parry off of our last episode, if the government lies to us about aliens, can you measure that as the same as your ex-girlfriend lying about smoking to her parents?
Well, I suppose it's subjective, isn't it? Because it depends. It all comes down to the effects of the lie. How someone's lie makes one feel, or what actually happens as a result of that lie. I mean, let's face it, governments lie to us about everything. So, I think anyone
to
who
protect
trusts
us,
their government,
Martin.
Well, quite. I think we'd all be far better off if we just assume that our governments lie to us about 99% of the things they tell us about, and that would be a safer place to start, because then we're not going to be disappointed, are we? And herein lies a thought, actually. But then I don't wish to live my life this way, by the way. Of course, there are people who have been lied to that many times by parents and family and partners and friends that they choose just not to trust anyone. I'm certainly not suggesting that that's a good way to go about doing things. Certainly, I think that leaves you in a pretty dark place most of the time. But then it's not okay to lie to people. So how do we navigate around that? Is it around working out is it being a little more choosy about the people we spend time with?
No, I mean, to some extent, but I mean, I think there needs to be a certain level of grace given to the fact that this is part of the human condition. We've been focusing a lot on, like, other people lying to us and how that makes us feel, and therefore, what should the appropriate response be? But notice how we don't talk about the appropriate response for when we lie to ourselves. And notice how we don't make a big deal about it. So if we really want to, like, have an appropriate response to how to deal with other people lying to us, let's first start with how we deal with ourselves lying to ourselves. Can we even notice when we lie to ourselves? Can we even catch ourselves lying to ourselves? And when we do, if and when we do, then what?
Love it. I've got a lot of time for starting there. Well, I'll shoot off if you'd like. I think I absolutely catch myself if I'm lying to myself. But then I'm going to struggle to, you know, these days I spend an awful lot of time observing myself and observing myself.
And very meta.
In that observational loop, it becomes increasingly more difficult to, in a good way, to find myself doing things that are particularly bad for me, if that makes any sense. So yeah, it is meta because I think there's one ability, and I know you know I'm doing the work, and these are all new tricks that I've started to learn. But it's one thing to be able to suddenly pause and rise to a higher seat of consciousness where you can observe yourself. And let's just say that you're observing your own thoughts, you're not observing your actions. But then it's quite another to then realize that you are observing yourself. So you're observing yourself, observing yourself. And when you do that, there's a whole other kind of honesty to it. Because you are observing yourself, you know? So if I were to be thinking about a lie, and I honestly can't think that I do that these days. If I lie, they're white lies, I suppose. I certainly do. Of course I tell fibs, because we all do, don't we? As you said. But it's more a case of, you know, perhaps it's a work-related thing. Yeah, sorry I didn't reply to your email. I was busy doing something else. Actually, I just didn't want to reply to your email. I didn't want to read your email because it was full of banal nonsense.
The most really common lie is done at work about why they couldn't work. Most common lie is about work, about why they couldn't
work.
Is that
right? What? So this, I'm sorry I couldn't do that. I had a bone in my leg,
or I have a family matter, or I'm sick, or most common lie is to get out of work.
Is that right? Wow, I didn't know that. But then I suppose. Mm-hmm. But then if you, again, it depends the kind of work you do, doesn't it? If you work as a freelancer, or you're trying to write books and stuff, then you've less people to. You've less reason to lie as well, I think, because you're in a role where you've chosen to be your own boss, haven't you? So actually, what I tend to do these days is actually in those sorts of situations, I just don't even offer up a suggestion as to why it didn't happen or why I didn't get hold of, or I'll just apologize. Hey, I'm sorry, I haven't done that yet. That's it.
Yeah.
And because the reason it could be I didn't feel like it, or actually, I thought about your face this morning and it irritated me, so I didn't really want to do any work for you today. But actually, I just don't offer that. I just don't offer up an excuse.
And in many ways, that omission of the truth is okay. Yeah,
because it's neither a lie nor... it's not an excuse, is it? I think that's the thing. You know, yeah. I think we are, as you identified at the beginning of the conversation, we're human, and there's nothing we can do to get away from that. As much as one might try and do the work, even to a monastic level, of trying to improve oneself and one's behavior, but we are still human. And
yeah,
one thing I realized, having done the monastic work for the best part of a year, which is obviously, and also the time I met you, wasn't it, in Bali, actually in the end you've got to come back and start interacting with humans. We are here on Earth School to interact with humans. There's no getting away from it, and that's where the lessons are actually to be found. It's not hiding away in a cave, meditating or doing silent retreats and in the hills, and all due respect to anybody who does choose that as a way of life.
Yeah, it's the social action.
That's when you're tested.
It's the lying to you and you saying, hey, that's a lie. And me saying, oh, I got caught. Why did I lie? Mm. And that becoming the catalyst for me to be like, why did I lie about that? Why should I care? Mm-hmm. Or you asking the same question and the consequences of that whole behavior then being the butterfly effect for why I maybe get coaching on the little white lies that I tell.
on your fibbing. But yeah, but that's the point, isn't it? I'm going to flip the script. In defense of a liar for a moment, if a liar is in a relationship, it doesn't any kind of relationship, with someone who is easily triggered, for example, so that person therefore feels like, do you know what? I lie because it just makes my life easier with you.
Mm.
That's a thing, right? Mm. That is a thing. That's what this ex-girlfriend was saying. She didn't realize that I'd spent all of these months doing all of this work and this plant medicine and, you know, learning how to meditate and yada yada. So she still had this imprint of me, and the imprint was, he's going to be a nightmare if I tell him the truth. Mm. So it's just easier for me to tell him a lie. So what about that? Because that's something different, isn't it? Is it a good excuse for someone who's comfortable lying?
There's something underneath that, right? The lying is the response to a root of a problem that has more to do with fear of authenticity and a lack of courage. If I'm afraid how you are going to receive what I have to tell you, one, I'm in my fear state. Two, therefore, I'm not going to be authentic. And three, because I don't have the courage to deal with whatever's going to come from this interaction.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's the work that I would need to do in that situation, right? Why am I living in a state of fear? Why don't I have courage to be my authentic self? Why would I care so much about how you would perceive whatever truth-telling I have when ultimately, I mean, like, first, just to kind of rewind, lying takes an inordinate amount of energy of the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come up with the lie. It's got to process the body to, like, get in line and not betray the lie. It's got to remember the lie. You know what I mean? It's like, while telling the truth, I think it was Mark Twain's quote that you started with. It's like, then you don't have to remember anything. It's so much easier to tell the truth. It literally takes a less intensive process of the brain to tell the truth.
Completely. It's exhausting. I remember
exhausting
having such complex levels of lies. And I think as an alcoholic and an addict, sadly, lies, dishonesty go hand in hand with that sort of lifestyle, don't they? I was, as you know, a high functioning addict. So a lot of the time I was constantly lying to myself about whether or not I'd been using. But of course, to my colleagues and to clients, to staff, everyone. And yeah, the whole thing becomes this complex cake. A layer cake of dishonesty. Yeah. And you have to say, well, hang on a minute, what did I say about this? And I remember even getting to the point, because I was always drunk or high on drugs as well. When you're telling a lie when you're drunk to someone, then you can't Ooh. Remember whether or not you told, which version did I tell that person? I remember thinking.
Yeah.
And I would find myself actually saying it aloud. Oh, did I tell you that? Yeah, you told me all. Oh, right, okay. Well, that was a secret. I didn't realize I told you that secret. I thought I'd lied to you really well. And of course, people are looking at me going, man alive, it must be exhausting being you.
Here's the fun thing about lying is that, like, sometimes it becomes a game where certain people getting away with a lie becomes fun, right? So you start with lying to your parents. And if mom and dad believe you, then, ooh, it's cool. And then as you kind of get older, if you could lie to your partner or your boss, you're like, ooh, cool. And if you keep going down some paths, right? If you lie to a police officer, if you lie under oath, if you lie on television, it's a whole different anti-system of like, oh, I did this and I got away with it. And that becomes a really addicting behavior. Very addicting behavior. Yeah. Very addicting behavior.
That's true, actually. I can think of many occasions when I've told some big porcupines, as we would say in England, guilty also.
Yeah.
And there guilty. There's a bizarre in the darkest depths of Martin version 1.0, who's this narcissistic Machiavellian sneaky person, I would congratulate myself on my ability to lie. I would high five myself at times if I got away with something mega. Makes me sad to think about that now, because just what a
Martin.
God,
that phrase that you just used to describe yourself and your lying and your manipulation, I want to just like pause for a second, because imagine if you were a 5-year-old and you were lying about not being tired. You were lying about wanting macaroni and cheese. You were lying about having your homework finished when you didn't have any of those things or didn't want any of those things. Would you talk to that 5-year-old about him being a manipulative, narcissistic, dark, shadowy creature? Or would you show grace and compassion for that?
We're talking about different kind of lies now. Is it the kind of lies that the sneaky version of Martin used to tell weren't that innocent. So, and I think I reflect upon the old version of me often, but I do it with love and I do it with gratitude. I am immensely grateful to him for the lessons he taught me. But I also think it's important not to gloss over that part of me. I think you can. I think you can talk about yourself, your past self, and your indiscretions with absolute brutal honesty. But it doesn't mean I'm beating myself up about it, because I have forgiven him, and as I said, I'm grateful to him for his lessons. But one should not gloss over these things.
This is exactly the key. Everything that you just said about how you revere yourself from the part of you that has come through the muck and into a honest way of living. And you have, you know, a certain pride and boundaries and respect for that, right? But you're not being foolish about it. But you're also not turning away from it. You're accepting it. Now, so that's your relationship with your own internal self, yourself to yourself, about yourself. Now, if you turn that around to somebody else, now I've just told you a lie. Martin, I'm actually 26 years old. I weigh 125 pounds. I'm a millionaire. Can you show me the same sort of kindness and compassion and boundaries and brutal honesty without pushing me away that you just did for your past version of yourself?
Well, that's a really wonderful question. And I legitimately believe the answer is yes, I can. I can certainly try. And I think for me now, that's the next stage of evolution for me. It's connected with trying to live a life without judgment, which of course is another incredible human trait, isn't it? And it's absolutely part and parcel of living in the world of duality, isn't it? But I was thinking about this the other day. I bumped into this chap here who stole from me last year, He stole a lot of money from me. Well, he stole my time, which was equatable to a lot of money. And I did some work for him, sweat equity, you would call it, back in Turkey, when we were living in Turkey. And then we're sitting at our local restaurant over here a couple of weeks ago, and who's sitting opposite me but the same man? And he's basically decided to come and live here, and he's come to live in the town where we live because we told him we lived here. So it's a very bold move to make, and the man has stolen from me, and that brought up all sorts of emotions, as you would expect, because it's a lot of, this is a high value thing we're talking about here. Yeah. And I had to do an awful lot of processing. And actually, you know, I first thing I said was, small world. And he sort of like looked at me and scowled at me. And his partner looked awkward because she obviously wasn't quite expecting this. And then Jules and I carried on eating our meal. And I'm sort of processing the thing. And I can see him. And you know when someone's embarrassed, so they just do this on the phone, looking busy. Yeah, I'm busy. He's doing that. I'm kind of looking at him. She says, "Are you just going to leave it? You're going to leave that then?" She said, "Because it strikes me as a little bit bizarre that the universe has literally plonked him right opposite you." And I said, "No, you're right." And so I went, "Yeah, I'm going to forgive him." And so I went, "Hey," and I won't say his name, but I went, "Hey, buddy," and I was trying to get his attention. So he's looking busy on his phone. He's ignoring me. And his partner's looking at me and she's tapping him. And I'm going, "Buddy." And I'm smiling. And he just goes, "Talk to my lawyer." I went, "Beg your pardon?" He went, "Talk to my lawyer." I went, "Oh, okay. Well, we could do that. But actually, I was, talk to my lawyer," he says. And he looks down again. And I said, I just wanted to welcome you both to Bali. And his partner sort of looked at me as if to say, "Oh God, this is so embarrassing." "Yeah, thank you." And she went, "Thank you." And I went, "Yeah, good to see you, buddy." And that's it. He went back to his phone. And we spent the rest of the meal, you know, just kind of in shock, I suppose, how this unfolded. And we've seen him a couple of times since. And, you know, I've actually decided just to forgive him. I've decided to walk away from the whole thing. I was going to sue his company, and I'd been advised that I had an incredibly watertight contract and blah 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 blah, and I've just decided to walk away from the whole thing. And I have to say, I've digressed. Part and parcel of that was my ability to see his truth. Ooh. We're talking about lies, but let's talk about truths for a moment. And the point is, his truth is that he feels as though I let him down. Mm. And that his business was in trouble, is in trouble. If we're brutally honest, it is in trouble. And instead of standing by him, I decided I didn't want to work with him anymore because of his actions and his behavior. And so he now feels that I've attacked his business that is in trouble. So the threat of legal action is a threat against him, which of course, as you might know, and you probably identify, when we start our own businesses, we can often take any attack on our business as a personal attack because it's our business, yep. Right? So I sat with his truth. And now, of course, my truth is, we made an agreement, we signed a contract, I did what I was asked to do, you now owe me this thing. But his truth is, my business can't pay you that thing right now because we're in trouble, and damn you for coming after my business when we're in trouble. You are a not a nice person. So the ability to see his truth, even though it's not my truth, managed to, I don't know, it was kind of a transcendental experience, if I'm brutally honest. It was a very bizarre thing, but it was a wonderful gift as well. Yeah, obviously it hasn't got me paid, and this guy is still wandering around my local town looking grumpily at his phone every time I see him. But what it has done is freed me. Does that make sense?
I think that's what a lot of people talk about when they are about to die, like on their deathbed, is when they come to their own truth or some realization of the truth about their relationship with themselves, the relationship with others, whatever it was, whatever it is, right? That's what helps them come to peace. That's what helps them come to peace. And if you can get to that point before you die, you're lucky. If you can get to that point before you're even sick and on your deathbed without death looming in the distance, very, very lucky. And I think that's what you're talking about. It's like, how do we get how do we get to the point where we can take a look very honestly at ourselves? And whatever this thing is, that this thing could be our relationship with ourselves or others or other people's relationship with other people, whatever it is that we want to look at and get really brutally honest about it so that we can just make peace with it in order to move past it with really no lingering weight on our shoulders. I think that's the little money nugget that you're trying to allude to there. Because it's not about lying, right? Lying is a thing, yes, but it's about how do we move past it and just kind of zoom out at the bigger picture in your particular story. Am I okay without the money? Yes. Do I still have my health? Yes. Do I still have my partner? Yes. Am I in a beautiful place? Yes. Do I have friends? Yes. Do I have a job? Yes. Am I okay? Yes. How big of a deal is this?
Not really. It's a blot. It's a blot. Yeah, it's a wonderful observation you make there. And I hadn't realized that I was going to tell you that story, actually. Although I'm glad I did. That's the beauty of this that's the beauty of this podcast, isn't it? But yeah, if you think about it in those terms, then it's not just about lying, is it? It's about human traits, and it's about our ability to forgive one another for our own humanity. And I love how you kick this off, because I think you're quite right to say, well, surely the first thing we ought to be asking ourselves is, how honest are we with ourselves? Yeah. Because I suppose if we're to talk about people's lying in a negative way, then we are, of course, judging them, aren't we? So can we possibly judge anyone for being dishonest if we are dishonest ourselves or dishonest to ourselves? So I think that's fundamentally question number one. If we are honest with ourselves, oh no, let's say we're not, actually, well, there's another thing. We've then to be mindful and compassionate with ourselves by not judging ourselves. And of course, I don't know about you, but sometimes I catch myself judging myself as well.
You're caught in a lot of meta loops, Martin.
this is my new jam. My new jam is meta, and I'm not talking about Mark Zuckerberg meta either. I'm talking about real life meta. But these are the exercises, aren't they? Certainly for me, anyway. You know, I don't know about you, but this is the real work. Being able
This is the hard thing. This is super hard stuff to do, right? Because, and this is why I'm convinced you still lie. Because sometimes, oftentimes, we don't know our own blind spots. We don't even know that they exist. And without relationships with other people, any kinds of relationships with other people, it's really hard to see our own blind spots. And so therefore, it is really hard for us to take that magnifying glass to ourselves. And so if we have a problem taking a look at our own stuff and being honest with ourselves, we are... I just don't think it's ever something that we just arrive to at some point in time in our life and say, great, I'm done with lying. I'm completely honest and transparent with myself and therefore with others. I think it's a perpetual layering of onions that just keeps coming back where we say, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. And mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And so while you might be as transparent as possible with yourself about yourself right now, as you could be, it might not be that way tomorrow, in 5 years, in 2 years, in 5 months. You're going to realize how you've been lying to yourself about something. And that's going to change.
That is maybe. I can't say for sure that is the case or is not the case. But I think you're perfectly within your rights to point out that our mindsets change all the time. Our knowledge changes all the time. Everything changes, right? You know, I've said this
exactly
12 times on the podcast, but change is the one universal constant. I think the only thing that could, and we're going to talk about, we're going to go back full circle in a minute to a scale of lies, I think, because that was an interesting point you made. Mm. I think the only thing we can do is the work to constantly try to observe ourselves. And if we are constantly trying to observe our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions, and asking ourselves, did I lie then? Perhaps I did just tell a lie. Why did I tell that lie? And actually then having a very quick conversation with ourselves to explain why that it really was not necessary. Then yeah. I think that's the work. And that's that in a way, because you are essentially forgiving yourself immediately for it. Then you're also making an effort to try to do better next time. That's
it's
the
a
point,
practice in vulnerability. It's a practice in complete and utter courageous vulnerability. Because when I commit to stopping lying, when I'm saying I'm going to be truthful, firstly, I have to say mm-hmm. I'm going to be truthful to myself about myself. But then mm-hmm. I can take that another step forward and say I'm going to be truthful about myself to another person. So mm-hmm. now I can disclose some really vulnerable something to you, right? Just like you were saying, oh, did I tell you that thing? Oh, that was a secret. I thought I had told you a lie, right? Mm-hmm. But then you can turn it into telling the truth about someone else to yourself, right? So you can go down these categories and then you can mm-hmm. also tell the truth about another person to another person. And these are all, I think, like, as you go through one, it helps make the next one easier so that you finally get to like the last one, which would be like telling the truth to everyone about everything, right? So you get comfortable first with telling the truth to yourself about yourself, and you arrive at the place where you just feel comfortable telling the truth to everyone about everything. And that is the practice and that's in vulnerability. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. To a large extent, I do that now. Well, I do it on a podcast. So in that regard, I am frequently asked that question. How do you feel comfortable telling those kind of truths about yourself? And the family members I have who don't understand it, don't understand why I would be so vulnerable as to talk about my addiction or my ability to lie or the fact that I cheated on partners or I did this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I think that says more about them than it does about me, doesn't it?
Fear, you know? Lacking courage, right? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's when you're lying, whether actively or passively lying, you're in a fear state, you're lacking courage. It absolutely mm-hmm. says more about the other person. And that's why I think that when somebody lies to you, I don't think it's necessarily cause for removing them from your life, right? I mean, all things with its, you know, rightful measure, but the lie in and of itself doesn't necessarily have to be the catalyst. It could be indicative of other behavior, but it could also just be something that you observe about them. And maybe you bring it to their attention in order to have a conversation about it, or maybe you just practice lack of judgment and forgiveness. It's exactly an opportunity for you as well.
It is, isn't it? As all interactions always are and always shall be, because we're always teachers and we're always learners, aren't we, in that regard? Let's talk about levels of lies then. So what's an acceptable level of lying to Teray from a friend or a partner?
You know, I have a pretty high level of like loyalty need in my life. So when it comes to like friends or partners, that lying is really it's hard for me. But if you need to lie about, I'll tell you very honestly, my best friend is also, she's amazing, but she's also afraid of me because I have a very strong personality and a radical authenticity.
I've never witnessed any of this.
I have a lot of passion, and I express and I emote, and I do so very authentically and loudly, and that scares people, and that scares my friend, and thankfully she's honest about that, but that also is why sometimes she admits things. And so while she doesn't flat out lie to me, right? She doesn't flat out lie to me, but she will admit things because she is afraid of my reaction. She is afraid of my reaction and how it'll affect her or our relationship. Now, we're bonded. We're super bonded. So, like, I don't think there's anything that can break. I'm sure there are things that could break our relationship, but really, she's up there on the echelons of a friendship. But still, she's afraid. And therefore, she admits, aka lies. And I accept that because I want her to be comfortable. And I don't need that from her all the time. There are some things that I need a brutal honesty about, and I'll tell you. But there are some things where, you know, if you're lying to me or admitting something that has really no consequence to my day-to-day or my life in any way, like, if I can let it go, why wouldn't I? For the peace of the relationship, absolutely I would, and I would accept it.
Yeah, I like that. Being devil's advocate for a moment, how honest is that of you in your relationship?
I would say it's pretty honest. The fact that I've never said this to her is probably dishonest, but I think there is an unspoken agreement, a contract. I know her truth around being afraid of some of my more animated moments or reactions. Mm-hmm. And I think this relates to attachment styles, right? So I have an avoidant attachment style and she has an anxious attachment style, which is the wonderful duo. And so she is afraid that I will disappear, which I do. I do this, right? I go into my cave and I turn my phone off and I have these periods where people can't contact me because I just don't want to. And for an anxious person, friend or partner, of which I have both, that's awful. That's awful.
Yeah.
And so they too will find themselves omitting things in order to avoid my avoidance because it makes them anxious.
So what sounds quite complex being your friend. Thankfully, I don't have the same... Well, perhaps we don't, because we haven't seen each other. We don't see each other that often. But I don't remember having those kind of issues with you when we hung out in Bali. But then I think we're both brutally honest, aren't we? So we both sort of lay it out, and it's kind of a burr, there you go, take it or leave it. And
we had nothing to lose in our first meeting. We bore our naked truths on the first meeting, and that set the tone, which is very different than how most relationships with people start, where they keep things very on the surface, right?
True.
And I dove right into like level 10 depth of vulnerability from the get.
Yeah, that's a good point. I often neglect to consider that we are in a bit of a bubble here in Bali like that. You know, I think, you know, if I think back to my life in London, meeting a relative stranger for the first time, the level of conversation we would achieve in our first interaction compared to where you get to after 5 minutes conversing with someone in Bali, it's just it's a bubble, isn't it, in that regard? It's an authenticity bubble. So we are very fortunate. So, but when your friend lies to you, what's she like? What's she holding back? Is she holding back truths about herself because she knows that you're gonna want to give your opinion on what she ought to do, or is she being dishonest about you, or being dishonest to you?
So the lies are, you know, they're omissions, right? So just to clarify, the omissions are really to protect me, her, or us. Again, as a woman, she is lying in order to protect. And so I'll give you the most recent example that I can think of. We've been talking about me being a godparent to her two children, and her partner really misunderstood the importance that role is to me and how it was played in my life, and were kind of being very casual about it. And I sort of really kind of had to lay the kibosh down and let him know that this was actually something very sacred to me. And like, if we're going to do this, there's a way to do this. And here again comes my intensity and my passion, right? Calmly, not loudly or whatever, but like, here I am saying, this is really important to me. This is sacred. So if we're going to have this conversation, let's have this conversation. But I want to be at the table with you having this conversation, really. And so that leveled up the stakes, right, in some way. And so the omission started coming out, the lying to protect me or her or the relationship started coming out, because this process was taking months. They really, really, really had to sit down and think about that and what it meant and kind of pick my brain and then marinate on it for a couple more months. And I was checking up on it from time to time. And she was saying, you know, yes, yes, yes. We're still thinking about it. But in the back of what was really happening, which I didn't know, which I hadn't found out, was that there were some other considerations around her family that were bubbling up in that family dynamic that made the conversation about me being a godmother kind of difficult. And she was afraid to tell me because she thought that I would, in my avoidant attachment style, walk away upset and cold shoulder her and her family for however long. So she was doing it to protect. She was doing it to protect me. She was doing it to protect her family. But more importantly, she was really doing it to protect our relationship. And rightly so. Had she have told me all that, I probably would have gotten all, you know, animated about it. And she had such a wonderful grace about it. And I feel like in that situation, absolutely okay to lie.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a great example, isn't it? Where omitting the truth actually is better for people, because it saves a lot of upset and a lot of unnecessary drama.
And I'll tell you, Martin, I've seen this personally. I am such an avid fan of direct and brutal honesty, but I was in a bar with the same best friend of mine, and I had my sunglasses and my phone next to me. A couple of older biddies walked in. They were definitely on a binger, so to say. And she had lifted my glasses and put them in her purse while I was facing away. And a little bit later in the evening, I noticed my glasses were missing. And then I noticed it in this lady's purse. And I talked to my friend and I say, this lady has just taken me for some kind of fool, right? Here comes the passion and all the animation. And my friend's like, no, it must be a mistake. And I'm like, I'm feeling the rage coming on. And she, exactly, right? And you know what she did? She lied, but she did it for the greater good. She lied, she laid on the sword, and she said to this woman in front of me and her other friend, oh my God, I am so sorry. I must be so drunk that I accidentally put my glasses in your purse. I think I must have just put my glasses. Oh my God, I'm so drunk and stupid. I'm really, can I, do you mind? I'm no sorry, way. Do you? And the lady.
Who had stolen.
Everyone. Yes. Everyone was just at first a little like, because we all knew the truth. And yet she had done it in such a way where, like, how could you, you know, what other option do you have? And the lady was like, oh, yes, absolutely, please. Oh, there's your, how silly, right? Oh, how silly. Oh. And my friend went on and on about how silly and stupid and, you know, drunk she is or whatever. And this other lady, the thief, she admitted, I also have a tendency to have loose fingers. I don't know, maybe it could have been me. And I thought in the minute that I heard this, I'm thinking, what the F is happening in this distorted reality where, like, lying has just brought out an authenticity from this lady? What?
That's incredible.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
She felt more comfortable to do so. Wowzers.
So while lying doesn't feel great, and while we want to, like, shame it and walk away from it and put it on a cross and burn it, it also has a role to play.
Well, it does, and as you said at the beginning of the conversation, it's very much a human trait, an entirely natural human trait. I think perhaps the better way to think about it is there are lies that hurt, and there are lies that help and protect, and there are lies, as you identified earlier, that are just neutral, that, you know, actually it has no bearing whatsoever on my life. So fill your boots if you want to lie. That, you know, that's your jam, yeah. Isn't it? certainly. As I think I've admitted since we began the conversation, I must still tell little fibs. I must tell little white lies about, oh yeah, sorry I didn't do that, or sorry I didn't call you, or sorry I didn't reply to your message for a whole week. That was inconsiderate of me. Yeah, and I'm sure there are fibs attached to them, but they are. Minuscule in comparison to the sort of lies that I used to tell and the lifestyle that I used to live. And I, you know what, that's okay for me. That's enough for me to know, because I'm talking about big lies, you know, the old Martin used to live an incredibly dishonest life, and those lies were hurtful and hateful.
The scale does matter. If you're lying to yourself about how you like to work with this, but if you're lying to, you know, this other person that you like working with them and that's just to keep the peace, whatever, right?
Exactly.
But if you're lying to this other person about paying them when you have no intention of paying them, that's a different magnitude, right? Or when you're lying to somebody about even greater things, like, yeah, absolutely, this is Tylenol, when in fact it's fentanyl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even an order of magnitude greater of a lie, right? So the hurt
exactly.
and the pain that it can cause, the detrimental effect it has, is what makes a lie really bad. But not all lies are equal in value.
No, they're not. And in that regard, I'm actually extra glad we had this conversation, because it there is no black and white. There are 50 shades of lie, aren't there?
It's a duality, and it's on a spectrum, right? Absolutely. I'm always going to lie to my boss and say that I love working, right? Well, actually, no, they know exactly how I feel, right? But I mean, there's always going to be some lies that I perform just as the nature of living in this society, and that's okay. I'm okay with that, right? Am I ever going to be dishonest with my partner about my feelings? No. Am I ever going to lie to my friend in order to deceive them so I can get one up on them and to maintain control? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Manipulation, I think using lies to manipulate, generally manipulation, could be perceived as not a healthy thing to do for anyone's relationship. So yeah, I like it. We've managed to dance around the whole concept in an hour and 10 minutes, and I think we've done quite a good job, actually.
I like how you came full circle around the you know, I don't lie anymore in the beginning to, yeah, I probably tell a little bit of lies and I'm okay with where I'm at in my lying.
Yeah, it's because you rightly identified that there are different kind of lies, and actually I think I use the word fib, don't I? So if it's a little white lie, it's a fib. It has a significantly less impact. In fact, it has zero impact on anyone. And actually, and no doubt about it, there are times when it's easier for me, knowing how it might upset someone's sensibilities, it's easier to refrain from telling 100% of the truth to that person. You know, why do we always feel the need, well, we don't always feel the need, do we, but why do some of us always feel the need to tell the brutal truth and to have the brutal truth out there? Who is that for? Who does it benefit?
That's something that's a really, really valid question. That's something that I think, from the experience that I told you about this lady who tried to steal my glasses, really opened my eyes to another way of being and interacting with people, where I'm always very brutally honest and I want that. But what I saw, what I witnessed, elicited a reaction that I could never, never, never get out of somebody with brute force. Never. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Really interesting. Well, I was thinking about what Rumi said about words passing through three gates. Do you remember this expression? This little prose.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, whenever you pass, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? That's the three things to observantly put your words through those three gates. And I suppose that's still a really sound piece of advice to ask yourself before you say anything. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Perhaps that's a place to start. That's a practical utility to take away from this conversation is, okay, I'm interested in what you've got to say about lies, you guys. Maybe I do lie too much. So where do I start? Well, start there. Start observing yourself. And I think that's all we really can do, is to try and be present. And
I would start with yourself. Start with the lies you tell to yourself about yourself. And when you're ready, move on to the lies you tell yourself about someone else. And then just gradually move up the ladder.
Yeah.
And if you can, take that Rumi's quote, poem, poetry, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I think that it's a wonderful recipe to moving through and past lying. At least the hurtful, unkind, horrible, not so nice lying. Yeah,
I agree. Thank you, darling. I enjoyed our conversation.
I did too. That was a completely different session to our aliens.
It was not aliens, that's for sure. Yeah, well, that's what happens with the How to Die Happy Chinwags, isn't it? We just let our chins wag and see where we get to. It's good.
Very vulnerable. I really enjoyed it too, Martin. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming again. And I'll consider what we might ruminate over next time. And no doubt we'll speak again.